You're listening to the Collab Talk podcast, episode 257 of the MVP Buzz Chat series. In this episode, I'm talking with Azure MVP Massimo Crippa. Hey, everybody, this is Christian Buckley doing another MVP Buzz Chat, and I'm talking today with Massimo. Hello.
Hello, Christian. Nice to meet you. It's good to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it's great to have you. And for folks that don't know you, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? Where are you? And what do you do?
Okay, I am Massimo Crippa. I'm living in France, Italy. And working in Belgium, so I'm just roaming around these three countries. So sometimes it's a busy life traveling. I'm working for a company called Codit, and over there it's all about cloud, Microsoft Cloud in this case, so Azure. And we are focused on integration, IoT, and app innovation, meaning all of this cloud native, wonderful world that I like it so badly.
Well, I always like to ask too, because on Azure MVP, I mean, Azure is a big bucket. There's a lot of things within that. So kind of like, you know, what do you specifically focus on? What are you currently like writing and speaking about?
Yeah, so I just were very lucky to be awarded with this MVP in the category of cloud native, means everything about containerization, everything about let's say application that scales, application that are elastic, application that are resilient, and all of these kind of things. So I like Azure Container Apps so badly, Kubernetes, so and that's the abstraction that ACA puts on top of Kubernetes. I like also to of course all the CI/CD story, how we can release those application in a continuous way. Security is something that I like. I love to have, in general, a big picture, an helicopter view on the Azure technology, but with a focus on of applications, cloud native application.
Well, that's great. So, do you get into like the performance side? Do you work with customers that have built out solutions? Maybe they didn't architect it in the right way, so they're having operational performance issues.
Yeah, that's one of the side, but most of the time it's in two things. So creating new applications, so completely from scratch, so bespoke kind of application. That's one case. And the other one is application innovation or modernization. You know, there are a lot of different drivers why you want to move to the cloud or introduce innovation in your application, in your company. So these are the two main tracks where I jump in. So a lot of those things are API platform that I'm looking at, mobile applications with a sort of, scalable backend that is powering those, applications and solutions.
You know, I'd say that is really a core part of, you know, the whole digital transformation, which I know is an overused term, but I started my cloud journey, went to work for a startup in 2001 that had a SaaS software provider right in the early days. Cause that was a SaaS as an acronym came out during the .com era. So late 1990s, early 2000s. And the fact that we're still talking about a lot of that kind of digital transformation, the early days of Office 365 and Microsoft 365, you know, one of the reasons why these large customers were struggling to move over was because exactly what you're talking. They had built these on-prem solutions. Famously, painfully, a lot of Lotus Notes users that had built all of these, you know, domino-based applications. Yeah. Well, I don't know if you ever worked in that space. Did you ever work with Lotus?
Yes, I did. It remember the old times in Italy when I started. I started working in IT in 2001. That was the time. And over there, all the first, 7 years or 8 years of my career, of course, cloud, at least over there in Italy, it was non-existing, right? So right. It was all the classic data center way, sizing applications, putting machines, and there were all the virtualization and all the things coming up. So, and Lotus was something that came up multiple times. And over there, we were doing enterprise application integration, and Lotus was always involved
in the mix there,
one way or the other.
Yeah, well, and always ugly. And just, I'm sorry for if there's anybody that's still in that world. There's no easy answer. It was usually the answer was rebuild completely. There's no migration, I should say. There's,
you know, in this app modernization stuff, you know, the rebuild is one of the main way to go, especially for security, for compliance, and all of these kind of things. But of course, I love technology so badly. I like all the new things. But of course, we also have to stay real, and we have to look at the value, right? So the value that the customer, that we can bring to the customer, and now there is the pleasure of technology, and then there is the reality, and then there is the enterprise. That's what the customer needs, because otherwise it's not a kid's game, right?
Yeah. I remember this is early on, I've been an MVP since 2012. And that was around 2013, 2014. I got yelled at by a senior Microsoft salesperson for scuttling a deal they were trying to put together. But I was closer to the customer. And my conversation with them is that their home-built solution provided more functionality, more value, that they should not upgrade, they should not move. For at least a couple more years, because it was the cost of moving and the reduced functionality was greater than the benefits of moving for the time being. Anyway, angry conversation. But again, it was like I kept positioning, like I was interested in what's the right solution for the customer, not what is Microsoft, what person's trying to hit their number.
Exactly, that's how it should be. Even if, as I said, I really love this experiment new things and try to understand the why behind the technology, that choice or that design. Of course, we should always look at the value. So I think that I read a couple of days ago that LinkedIn, after all of I don't know how many years they were planning to go to the cloud, let's say,
yeah,
now they decide to switch to stay the as is on their data centers for sure. Their solution is, powered by the cloud, but cloud is not their major things, right? Of course, they are leveraging the clouds.
It's a private cloud. It's dedicated cloud, private cloud. But yeah, for folks that aren't aware of that, it made news. Yeah, it was like a week or two ago. The fact that LinkedIn is not moving everything over to Azure. They're keeping it within their data centers that they built out when they were a standalone company, at least for the time being. And again, that was not good PR for Microsoft. But again, it goes to how their solution was architected. They made the decision that was best for their customers, for the performance and cost and all those things. It's not just a done deal. Moving to the cloud is not always cheaper.
In general, going to the cloud, or let's use again that buzzword or whatever, that app modernization or innovation is not an all-in game. Huh?
Right.
As hybrid is still a huge reality in our customers. And then it's also one slice, one department maybe. It's on the cloud. It's extending their solution with cloud. The other department is more on premise or hybrid, and then the integration realized the hybrid between the cloud only and the premises. So these kind of things I see it often with our customers.
Right. Well, that's why you need to talk to people that are, again, not salespeople that are just trying to hit their number, but the architects that actually understand you know, what might be the right solution for your company, your investments. Maybe it's not even the most advanced features, but you need to let it play out and get the value out of what you've already spent before you can make that decision. I mean, that's that. There's no wrong answer to that. I would argue to those companies that are looking at keeping some components on-prem, whether it's true hybrid or not, at least to be piloting and be aware of, don't fall behind and just being aware of what's out in the cloud. Pilot something, some aspect of your business. So at least it'll make that future transition quicker because you're aware of what's out there.
And that piloting things is where the cloud shines, right? So you have the capacity, the ability, not capacity, to fail fast, right? So you try out and then it doesn't work, it works. So you prepare yourself for the future, or at least you evaluate that technology for the future. And then if it doesn't work, you know, the classic sales things, CapEx versus OPEX, and all that, you can just try and no worries, experiment technology, and then you would be able to take a better decision, right?
There's usually a lot that you can do, even if you're, again, remaining on-prem. I'm in the knowledge management space, SharePoint space, and there's data cleanup that's, you know, always, it's ongoing. It's just part of life. There's things that you can do. There's restructuring while remaining in your existing environments that will, again, make it a cleaner upgrade migration later.
The classic example is the cloud native, or if you look at Kubernetes per se. So there are tons of distributions that you can configure, install, and run it in your on-premise things. So it's full cloud native. It follows the classic cloud native principles, all of them. But then you have all of that huge cost and complexity to maintain that kind of infrastructure. But per se, Vanilla Kubernetes or whatever distribution, certified distribution, if it's on-premises or if you have your AKS, Google on Amazon at the end, the stack is the same, right?
Yeah. Well, so Massimo, what was your path to becoming an MVP? I always like to ask that, like, what's your origin story? Like, how did you hear about the program?
It's the thing is, like, it's a really an up and down, so just like a roller coaster, but spread out a lot of years. So I just checked, to be honest, these things a couple of days ago when I wrote my first blog post, and it was on 2007, some time ago, at my times in Italy. At that time, after, let's say, 10 blog posts, something like this, I stopped. Then I moved to Belgium. I moved to Belgium in 2011. Over there, I discovered the passion for community. So I was, very active between 2014, 2015. And then I took another break again because I was in consultancy business. So always, you know, hitting the car. And other excuses that I can found.
Yeah, excuse. Course, I mean, look. We all know that. I mean, sometimes you get into a role that just sucks up all the oxygen. You're not able to do all the other stuff. And other times you find you've got more flexibility. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when you're pursuing something. Yeah,
exactly. Then it comes back to 2023, where I just moved to, almost a full remote role, and then I had more time to write down, to experiment technology and things like this. At the same time, because I was remote, I'm a very social guy, so I had the need to meet people. I want to stay in touch with community and things like this. And so I decided, okay, you know what, Massimo, let's start blog posting, writing blog posts seriously. So then I will use a blog post to find some session that I like. So then I can just give this session and being surrounded by people and talk about technology. So that's what I did. I said, okay, I will, I created my website. I said, okay, I will, I my goal was to write around 40 blog posts per year. So I try to have a goal, an unreachable goal, so then I can settle with something a little bit less. So I end up with 21 or 22 or so, I don't recall, a blog post in 2023. I did some 4 conferences and so on. And then, yes, at the end of the year, I was talking with a Microsoft employee, and we talk about MVP. There were nomination. I just prepare all of my case, and then I was surprised it was so fast, because in January I got that that wonderful email in my inbox, because I have no clue that I didn't know that it was on January the nomination. It could have been in February, maybe. I don't know when it happens.
So new ones are added monthly, but I think I think Microsoft kind of took a break. There was a lot of people around the program, like in Q4 last year. And so I think there were some people added in October, maybe in November, but nothing in December. But yeah, so it's a black box to all of us, you know, how Microsoft's process and who they're looking for and which areas and which regions of the world. But
I was expecting the answer in 3 months. It came in the way Christmas holiday, so I was not thinking at this. I was just focused on getting back to work, and I say, oh, that's a nice way to start the new year. So that's how it worked.
Congratulations again. I know it's exciting. And for, again, folks that don't know the process, Microsoft handles the renewals every, first week in July. So at the beginning of their fiscal year, which is July 1st, then they renew folks. But you can be added, at the beginning of every month during the year. So it's always a pleasant surprise. It's exciting to see the mix of folks coming in. And then, as I do, I swoop, I look and say, oh, hey, new MVP, somebody I don't know, get to know them, say hello. I have to always ask, are you coming to the MVP summit?
I am planning, I have a big dilemma. There is the MVP summit, and the week after there is KubeCon Europe. So I already have the tickets for the KubeCon. So, but I also want to experience this MVP summit mood and everything
the
that
experience.
It comes
yeah,
with.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm. I have this dilemma, but I will sort it out soon. I think I will be there.
Well,
and by the way, congratulations for your 12 MVP.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I always tell new MVPs, like, the MVP summit, I think, is the best of the perks of being an MVP, because it's an opportunity to meet your peers from around the world, as well as the product teams, the engineering teams, leadership across Microsoft. There's nothing like it. I realize it's short notice for you to be added. It's a long journey and an expensive journey, but hopefully, if not this year, next year, you'll be able to make it.
Yes, it is, but I'm planning. I have a plan. So let's say at 70%, I will be there. So I have to sort out the last 30%, and then see if there will be, the flight and all that, and all of those things. But yeah.
Well, I hope you make it out there. And maybe I'll catch you. I know it's with a couple thousand MVPs making it there to campus, and all the Microsoft people. There's probably not a good chance that we'd see each other and being in different areas, but you never know. But yeah. Massimo, so for folks that want to connect with you, reach out to you, what are the best ways to reach you? Where are you most active in social?
Yeah, I'm most active on LinkedIn. That's the platform I use the most. And also on Twitter, but I feel that, a lot of things moved from Twitter to LinkedIn in the latest years. So those are my two main channels, so Twitter and LinkedIn.
Yeah, it's still kind of the leading of the social platforms out there, although it's experienced a lot of change. But we'll make sure we'll have all of Massimo's connections out on the blog post on buckleyplanet.com, as well as out on YouTube and on the podcast. So Massimo, really appreciate your time and getting to meet you. And again, congratulations.
Thank you, Christian. And thank you again for having me with this in this nice chat today.